Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
And if you've been leaning in today, I know God's already positioned your heart to hear something unique and special. It's going to be a life-changing message. We're in part two of our series that we started last week with Think Orange. Pastor Cherie kicked it off with a big way. Can we just give her a little what this morning? Thank you, baby girl. That was powerful last week. I love it, love it, love it. What she introduced is the idea of Think Orange, is that there is something that God's doing in the heart of a home, your household. And this red balloon represents what we believe God wants to do in the heart of your home. And that's unique, that only happens in households in that context of relationships. Then she introduced the fact that there is something God wants to do, represented by the yellow balloon, in the heart of our church family. And that there's a unique something God does in church families that's different than what he does in homes. But when you actually put your home, what the heart of your home, connected to the heart of what God's doing in the church, and you allow the Lord to bring a synchronized synergy to those two ideas, red plus yellow turns orange. And this really represents the fact that God wants to bring an exponential influence and acceleration to what he's doing through his kingdom, both in our church family and in your homes, not just for our blessings while we're together, but for the generations that follow us. And we're recognizing that there is a desperate need for this connection to happen because the local church is the hope of the world. And so I'm glad to see what God's doing. This is going to be a great series. So last week, Pastor Cherie was talking about some of the specific things God does in the local church, which is a powerful expression of what he's doing. And that was the yellow balloon. Today, we're going to start talking about some of the things that go with making a strong home. A strong home, and that's represented by the red balloon. But to do this, instead of me preaching this, we have a rare opportunity because my pastor and Pastor Cherie's pastor, Dr. Lawrence Kennedy, is actually here with us. He's on the front row. In just a moment, I'm going to introduce him. But for those who don't know the story, this is the man that God used 30 years ago when Pastor Cherie and I were ordained into ministry. He began to prophesy and speak the word of the Lord over us that we would pastor a church of thousands someday. I want you to know that God uses people who walk in offices of ministry to bring instructive and directive words to people, and it really does make a difference. And you may be saying, how do you know that, Pastor Dave? Here's the simple reason. I thought I was going to be a piano player my whole life. I didn't want to be a pastor. Funny, isn't it? But God had another plan, and he destined and called Cherie and I to work together in pastoral ministries to make a real difference. And so that's why we're here, because Pastor Kennedy put his hands on our head and prophesied that over our lives. And our yes to that word put us in line with that. But let me extend that a little bit further. If LifeLink is your home church, you're here because 30 years ago, God showed him that picture too. So let's just give the Lord a little expression of that. I love that. And then I'm going to ask, because honor is a key to everything in the kingdom of God, would you stand with me this morning? Could you join me in welcoming our pastor, Dr. Lawrence Kennedy, as he comes to the platform this morning? You're going to love hearing him. And I have to say, as he's coming, Pastor Kennedy, I always get a little bit nervous whenever you're around. For those of you that don't know, he's actually one of our overseers, which means he's my boss. So please be nice to him while he's here and make him think everything is good. Pastor Kennedy, we welcome you this morning.
Hi, everybody. You can be seated. Hi, everybody. It's very easy, Cherie and David, to be able to be around them because they are so precious to me. And I'm glad my prophecy was real because he has this ability to be able to reach a lot of people. And I've never seen anybody like his wife, the way she sings. I sit there and, man, she's good at what she does. Amen? I want you to turn to your Bibles real quickly with me to a portion in Song of Solomon, just a little portion that I want to share with you this morning. I understand, I've been in the ministry now since I was 20 years old. I'm 70 years old now, and it's an amazing thing after all those years to be able to say that I love Jesus as much as I did when I first came to him. That is an amazing statement. I still love him with all my heart. But I have something else I want to share with you today, how I fell in love with a beautiful girl. And I was afraid to ever say, "Will you marry me?" I was very afraid of that. I love my mom and dad, but my mom was married 4 times, and my dad was married 3 times. And I was from a dysfunctional family. And what I mean by that, my dad was was filled with anger. So I was afraid to tell anybody, any woman, "Will you marry me?" So I didn't marry till I was 30 years of age. Because every time I'd get serious with a girl, I would hide away from them and never get close to them, afraid that they might woo me in. So I waited 30 years. So I saw my wife, Coral. But that's not the reason that I married Coral. I love Coral with all my heart, and you'll understand this when I read this verse to you. But it's really something different that happened inside me, and I want to tell you this story. Here's what it says in Song of Solomon, the 4th chapter, verse 1. "Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are like doves behind the veil." What happened to me in this situation is I began to watch her mother and father, and I fell in love with them before I ever asked Coral to marry me. I watched how they loved each other. It's a big deal. He was a Marine. He was the Bay Area policeman. He was had the badge number 1. His name was Harry Weeks. 230 pounds, big guy, and a great guy, and a tough guy, but a straight arrow. He fell in love with this woman as he was getting ready to go into the Second World War. And he met her at a Baptist ministry situation, a house where they brought all the boys in to be able to get ready to go to battle in the Pacific. He saw her at a table. He looked at her and said, "She's beautiful." He's a big Marine, a tough Marine, straight as an arrow man. He looked at her and said, "I'd like to know her." Well, she knew that she had polio since she was 9 months old. She wore braces. She could never walk like most women and not be able to do what most women could do. But she was a thinker. And when he looked at her and he showed her and gave her a little kindness, she decided to get up from the table, let him look at her in the braces, and then he would wander off and leave her alone. He looked at her. She stood up. He looked. He said, "Well, I had a buddy who had polio. Do you want to hold my arm and walk with me, or on her braces, or do you want me to walk away?" She looked at him and she says, "Put your arm out. I'll walk with you." They began to walk together for the rest of their life. It was an amazing thing that he fell in love with her and married her. He was straight as an arrow. He was straight as an arrow, and I kept watching them. He wasn't a preacher, and I was a preacher. He was just a normal man in the church that I was involved in. There, I watched him, and I watched how he loved this little woman. Before they had ramps for all the wheelchair situation, he was a big guy. He would pick her up in his arms and literally, and it's a truth, carry her into a place to be able to be served. He was a big guy, strong guy, straight as an arrow. And he loved that woman. And I kept watching her, how she loved him. She loved him beyond anything I could imagine. I read a lot of books. I read a lot of different books on marriage. I understand reading and studying. So I read a lot of books. But I didn't see love until I saw it in action. And I kept watching how he would kiss her and hold her and protect her. He was jealous all his life. Anybody that would say anything rude to her, he would almost hurt them. It's the truth. It was an amazing thing to watch his love, but I watched it because I came, as I told you, from a dysfunctional family that was filled with anger. But I saw something in them that I knew that was what was deep inside of my wife. She was raised in that family. And she had something that was absolutely like Roberta, her mother. I knew that she had it deep inside of her. Wait on DNA of her life. She had something deep inside her. And I began to get the reality, I could ask this girl to marry me. And she would be a precious woman to me throughout my whole life. It was an amazing thing to be able to look at her and understand that she is literally Roberta. And Roberta's in heaven. She is literally, without a shadow of a doubt, has the nature of her dad inside of her, straight as an arrow. I saw this inside of her. So finally one day I said to myself, I need to marry this girl. I know somebody else would get her if I don't get her, because she's really cute. And I really mean that with all my heart. So I said, well, I better marry this guy, because here comes some other guys and they'll say, she's cute, and I think I'll go after her. She had a bunch of them after her, I promise you. But the way, what happened inside me, I said, well, I looked at her mom and dad, and it's true. I cried for 3 weeks after Harry died. I realized that he was a father to me. I started saying to myself, what an inheritance he and she has passed on to my wife. So I began to understand, I've got to ask her to marry me. She was a Delta stewardess. She flew around the country. She was cute, very cute. And all the guys would watch her as she walked down the aisle giving them Coke, and they'd all say, she's cute. And they'd want to talk to her. And I said to myself, I better marry her. But I knew about her family. I saw it. So he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. That's what he says in Proverbs 18:22. Something happened inside me. I realized I didn't want to be alone anymore. I was 30 years old and I did not want to be alone. I was traveling in ministry all over the country in those days. And I did not want to be alone. But I had to find me the right wife. And I took a real estimated choice when I was picking something that would be my wife for 40 years. I did it right. But the way I did it was watching her mom and dad. That was me. Because I couldn't look to my mom and dad, which I love, because they were dysfunctional. They fought all the time, argued all the time, upset with each other all the time. But in Harry and Roberta, straight as an arrow. David knows what I'm talking about. Straight as an arrow. And I said, I could rely upon that man and that woman, that nature is in their daughter. The DNA. It's deep inside of her. She don't even understand what is inside of her deeply. So I understood that if I didn't do something right, I would mess up. I would mess up. So I asked her to marry me. The reason I asked her to marry me was my sister and her husband took me to Shreveport, Louisiana, where Cor would fly in and I would meet her and, you know, be a nice host to her. But this day was different. I remember her getting in the car, and they were driving the car, and Coral and I were sitting in the back seat, and we're driving back to the town that I was pastoring in. And I was thinking this over and over again. I promise you, all the time I was thinking, she's got something deep inside of her that's different. My family was not that good. Her family was that good. So we stopped at a place to get something to eat and sit down at a table. And at this table, I turned to her and I said it reluctantly. I said, Coral, will you marry me? She said, well, absolutely. She said, I was waiting for you to say something. So I said, we won't tell anybody we're getting married. So we drove back to the little town where I was pastoring. And I stepped out of the car and my congregation was there. I said, I'm marrying this girl. And they said, oh, I said, I'm going to marry her soon. I didn't see enough of a problem. Because I knew what was in her mom and dad. And they're all in heaven now. And I realized that I could have a son and daughter with this girl. And I'd have nature. And I really converted because I'm a Christian at that time and a Christian now. But I realized I had changed my life, and I want to make sure that I could change my future children's life. My son, I got a son now. He graduated from Harvard. He's a lawyer. He makes more money than I'll ever make. He's a lawyer. And my daughter, I adopted her from Moscow, and she has a computer science degree out of University of Alaska and a minor in aviation. It's all based upon understanding that you can change by coming to know Jesus Christ, which I did. But I began to find someone that was a person that sought a good lifestyle, was straight as an arrow, her mom and dad. I reap from all that. I made good choices. And my wife is absolutely wonderful to me. She always thinks about me. She is absolutely in submission to me, not suppression. Submission to me. And the reason she submits to me, it's a gift. Every day I get a Christmas gift of Coral submission to me. I say, that's not right. Even when I'm wrong, she'll say, yes, honey, I know I'm wrong. And she later would say, I said, well, what would you have done? And after all these 40 years, I don't even think that way anymore. I said, what do you want to do? Before I even get into a choice, I've learned something. Because they've got to take care of our ego. We men are filled with ego. And unless a woman understands biblical commands and submission, not suppression, they won't give it to us. But if they are treated right and loved right and led right, they will give submission as a marvelous Christmas gift in a way, because they know that man's got an ego and they got to help him out. Amen. And so it's a big biblical thing for us to understand it. It tells in the Bible, it tells us Ephesians 5:25. Listen, it says, husband, love your wife. It's easy to love your wife when your wife is treating you this way. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And you know he's doing that. He's always able to receive your repentance and forgive you, counsel you, and direct you. That's God. So men need to understand that when their wife is being sweet to them, because they give it as a submission, not because they have to. If I ever tried to dominate my wife, it would be a divorce. But as long as she just gives it to me because of a gift, I see it as something that is absolutely wonderful. So I got to love her like Christ loved the church. Or I'm kind of, and I'm saying this in the right way, kind of stupid to run off a good woman. I better be sharper than that. It tells us, husbands, love your wives. It's big. So when I asked her that, my life changed. I started watching her mom and dad, and then I tried to live the lifestyle that I saw they were living. I watched it. It's powerful. And I lived that lifestyle, and with my son and my daughter. And I'll be honest with you, God changed me in outworking, not just thought, theory, but practicality in every way. But it all began with grandma and grandpa. And they're in heaven. It was something inside of her. And I inherited it. Because, you know, man and woman become one after a period of time. They change. So it's an amazing thing to watch this over and over and over again to realize this. When I got married to Coral, her mom and dad were in the car with me. Dad was sitting in the back seat, and Roberta was sitting in the front seat because she had, you know, braces on. She couldn't walk very good. She just, you know. And she said, "Harry wants me to tell you something," Roberta did. I said, "What do you want to?" He said, "We're going to give you four things. If you do these things, you will be our son. Period." I said, "Okay." She's sitting there. He's sitting in the back seat. They said, "Number one, you can't beat on her. You can never hit her." I said, "Well, I can do that. I'm a Christian. I'm a man, but I'm a Christian. Number one, you can't run around with other women." "Oh, I'm not going to run around. I'm a preacher. I'm not going to run around on my wife." "Sure, I can do that." Gave me about two more things. Then she looked at me. She said, "If you do that, you'll be our son. But if you violate those rules, you will deal with Harry." And I looked into the mirror and I saw this man about 230 pounds, big chest, nose broke. Remember that? Nose was broke like his, got hit in the face. Never got it fixed. He didn't care. And I looked into the mirror and I said, "I guarantee you, Harry, I will never violate those rules." And I never did, because he would never violate those rules. Remember I said to you, he was straight as an arrow. He was ahead of the vice squad in San Francisco. I learned from a couple more than books could ever teach me. Do you realize this, older people? Love your wife like you did when you romanced her now. Don't wait. Love her just as much. Be kind to her. Be sweet to her. And she will always give you submission. It's part of their nature. They can't help themselves. And I can't help myself. I'm going to pray for you in just a few moments. And I pray on this simple little message here that you understand that you are setting an example for somebody else right now. They may be young, middle-aged, newlywed couples, or babies watching you. They're watching you. They're watching you, how you kiss her, hold her, how she holds and kisses you back when you're 70 years of age or 80 years of age. They're watching you. It's bigger than you think. Little kids are watching mom and dad. Are they fighting like in my family? Are they loving? That was in Coral's family. They're watching you. Young couples getting married. Do they have an inheritance that will last forever? It's bigger than you think. I feel the presence of God. And I'm going to ask you to pray with me in a moment for you. I've been doing this for so many years. I wonder how many years I've done it since 20 to 70. What is that? 50 years. I'm pretty good at saying what I need to say. I'm not saying I'm the best. It's usually very simple. It's from my heart. Please be a good example. Somebody is watching you. Come on, stand up with me for a moment. You got a hold of that a little bit? It's real simple, isn't it? But it's true. I'm going to ask you in a moment, let me pray for you, and I'll pass this back to Dave. I love your pastor and his wife. I love them with all my heart. One thing that's better and better as you go along, and oh, it's an amazing thing to be able to understand there's some of them that you really sense kind of a desire that I have in me and them, and I'm not pastoring no more. I'm retired. I travel around the country. I did a prophetic conference down in Tucson yesterday with a bunch of pastors. Dave invited me here to be with him. But it's an amazing thing when you see somebody and you just kind of blink your eyes for a moment and realize, wow, I passed something on to David. That's true, I promise you. I go, wow. And I don't have to be in Phoenix or in Gilbert or David's here. It's passing on. Amen. Right before I pray, I asked my wife when she said, you're 70 years old now, what do you want? She's a successful realtor. And she looked at me and she said, what do you want? I said, well, what are you asking? She said, what do you want? You're 70 years old now. What do you want? I said, well, I like to have a river in my backyard. I did. And I like to have a house, and I like to have another house that people could come and stay at my house so I won't be alone when I get old. And she went and bought the land, moved from Dallas to Austin, Texas, in the hill country. I have a large river in my backyard. River. And she's paying for my new house, will be completed in April. That is called a woman like Roberta. And that's why when I look her in the eyes, I still see Dove's eyes there that I love. You got it? That's the truth. I'm praying that you will catch that spirit and keep it the rest of your days, because somebody is watching you. Put your hands up and let me pray for you. Father, these wonderful people in this room, and I say that because it's true. I pray that they would understand, God, that people that are my age or older have experiences in life, and they learn from those experiences, they can pass them on. And God, I pray that they would catch a hold of this, that there's people watching them, their moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and young couples watching their moms and dads and kids that are watching them at this very moment. They'll grow up. Help us to set a good example. And pass this on to the next generation. Let it be, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Thank you, Pastor Kennedy. know, as you're being seated, I want to just connect one last thought by way of extension. Pastor Kennedy was talking about the power of actions, that actions bring an impression that make a real difference. He was using the story of his own life with the observations that he saw from his wife's parents that changed his family tree. There's another set of actions by a father that I want to talk to you about, and that is our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father recognized brokenness in our lives brought on by sin. We know what that feels like because sin always devastates whatever it touches. And there is a good chance that there may be people in here today who are laboring under the burden of guilt or condemnation or sin of some kind. Maybe you're living outside of the grace of God and you know that you're not in a living relationship with God. And here's what I want you to know. God loves you. The reason we know he loves you is because he didn't just say a couple of words. He did something about our brokenness and our separation by sin. And that is, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on Calvary's cross to pay the legal penalty of our sin so we could be brought back into relationship with God through Christ. And he would lift the stain and the guilt and the burden and condemnation of sin off of our lives. This morning, if you're in here today and you know that you need a fresh start with God, I want you to know that God brought you here so you wouldn't just hear some words, but you would recognize an action that he did. That Jesus Christ said, here's how you know I love you. And his hands were open wide, nail scars in his hands and nails in his feet, hung on a cross to pay for our sin. And I'm telling you that because I want you to see a graphic picture of the love of God. That's what he did. I don't know that there may be one person in this room today who's laboring, and perhaps we don't know it because we may recognize most of all the faces in here. But if you're in here today and you know that sin or the guilt or condemnation is weighing you down, and you know you need a fresh start with Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask in just a moment. I'll be praying in about 60 seconds, and I'm going to lead us in a life change prayer, which is basically, God, thanks for telling me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for paying for my sin. Forgive me for my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, make me whole, and make me new. Today, I'm deciding to follow you. I'm going to lead this congregation in a life change prayer, and I would like to ask you to decide before we even pray, is that for you today? Is that for you? Why? Because that's how much God loves you. And it would be remiss if we dismissed a service that invited you to make that choice, because that's the one choice in all of life that will change your eternal destination. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? We're almost done. In about 20 seconds, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'd like to know who I'm praying with. And I'm going to ask, when I count to three, that you would slip your hand up and say, Pastor Dave, that's me. I need to make a fresh start with Jesus Christ and receive his forgiveness. And I'm only doing that not to embarrass you in any way, but so that I can connect with you and pray in agreement with what God is going to do in your life. So on a count to three, when I say three, just lift your hand if that's you. One. This is not confusing. You already know if it's you or not. And I'm just doing this so that you'll have an opportunity in just a moment to give an expression of indication that that's you too. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but when I count to three in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up so I can count you and then connect with you, and then we're going to pray together. But I won't embarrass you and ask you to stand and come to the front or anything like that. I just want to see who I'm praying with. Ready? If that's you, three, slip your hand up right now. Just leave it up just for a moment. Come on, I see that hand. One. Who else? Two. Who else? Who else? Thank you, Lord. Three. Who else? God's doing a powerful, powerful work here. It's worth it if there's just one more even. I don't want you to feel pressured or under any sense of obligation, but if there's anyone else, just slip your hand up. I want to make sure I'm good at four. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Five. Thank you. I'm going to ask everyone to pray this prayer out loud with me. Let's just pray it with our hearts open wide and our hearts deeply committed to God. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on Calvary's cross to pay for my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed against you, that you would wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Today, I'm deciding to follow you as my only God from this day forward. No turning back. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, you guys. Let's put our hands together and celebrate. I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.